Chapter 5. Granny Relda swung her handbag at the frog girl and cracked her on her forehead. The monster groaned and fell to the ground. Sabrina had seen what sort of stuff the old woman kept in her purse, everything from spy goggles to rolls of quarters, so she knew it packed quite a wallop. It would take the frog girl a while to get up, if she got up at all. Not wasting any time, the grim women spun in the opposite direction and raced down the stairs. Elvis followed close behind, clumsily navigating the steep steps and barking threateningly. "If we're lucky," Granny Relda said through winded breaths, "that thing will be too afraid of Elvis to come after us." "And if we aren't?" Sabrina asked, as she helped her grandmother down the last of the steps. Unfortunately, the old woman didn't get a chance to respond. The frog girl bounced down the steps and onto a nearby wall, sticking like a suction cup. Elvis stood his ground, baring his teeth at the monster, daring her to come closer.
"Your puppy isn't very nice," the frog girl croaked, "but he'll digest in my belly as quickly as the three of you."
Daphne stepped forward and flashed her shiny new deputy's badge.
"You're under arrest for being gross," she stammered.
But the frog girl was not impressed. She lunged for the little girl. Sabrina grabbed her sister's hand and dragged her down the hallway toward the exit. The monster followed by leaping back and forth from wall to wall, gaining ground with each jump. By the time the Grimms reached the exit, the frog girl was right behind them. She shot her thick tongue out and wrapped it around Daphne's arm, dragging the little girl back into her clutches. Elvis leaped viciously at the creature, but it jumped to the ceiling and hung upside down out of his reach.
"Let her go!"
Sabrina shouted as she desperately reached for her sister. The frog girl let out a sickening giggle and continued to dangle Daphne right above Sabrina's grasp. The little girl struggled and squirmed and finally reached into her beehive hairdo. She yanked a protractor from her sticky locks and stabbed the frog's tongue with it. The monster shrieked and Daphne fell, knocking Sabrina to the ground.
"And you didn't like my hairdo,"
Daphne said to her sister as she quickly helped her to her feet, and the two ran to the exit doors with Granny Relda and Elvis close behind.
"Start the car!"
Sabrina shouted as they sprinted across the school lawn. Mr. Canis opened his eyes and, without pausing, climbed off the roof of the car. Within seconds, the old jalopy roared to life, grinding metal on metal and shaking violently. The Junkers' obnoxious concert had never sounded so good to Sabrina.
"What happened?"
Mr. Canis asked, as Elvis, Granny, and the girls clambered into the car. But no one got to answer. Something slammed onto the roof. It was so loud they all jumped, except Mr. Canis, whose only reaction was to look up and raise a questioning eyebrow. Just then a slimy green hand smacked the driver's side window. Sabrina and Daphne screamed. Granny Relda whooped in astonishment, and Elvis growled and bared his teeth. But Mr. Canis just took a deep breath, put the car into drive, and floored the gas. The car's tires squealed, and the jalopy rocketed into the street, skidding across the country road before some quick steering set it on the right course.
"Oh, I do wish I could drive," Granny Relda groaned. "I used to love situations like this."
"You know very well the police took your license away," Mr. Canis said, steering from one side of the road to the other in hopes of dislodging their stowaway.
Unfortunately, nothing the old man did had any effect on the monster, and it continued to beat violently on the roof.
"I got a couple of speeding tickets," Granny shrugged.
"You were arrested 14 times for reckless endangerment. Several neighborhood groups banned you from driving on their streets. The German government said that if they ever caught you in a car in Berlin again, you would be hanged,"
the old man corrected.
"Oh, Mr. Canis," Granny begged. "No one has to know. Besides, this isn't getting us anywhere."
He shook his head.
"Please," she pleaded.
Mr. Canis slammed his foot on the brake, and the car screeched to a halt. The frog girl tumbled down the hood and bounced along the road for several yards until she stopped. She let out a terrible moan and then lay still.
"Let's stay off the major roads," the old man said, opening his door and getting out.
Granny squealed with delight and scooted over to the driver's seat. As they switched places, Sabrina watched the grotesque frog girl stir, slowly get to her feet, and stare at the car. Even with her bizarre, twisted face, the murderous rage in her eyes was clear.
Children, Mr. Canis said as he turned to face the sisters, put on your seat belts.
The girls eyed each other nervously and hurried to strap themselves in. Unfortunately, the ancient seat belts that had been installed in the car were torn, so Mr. Canis had used ropes to improvise. Sabrina helped Daphne tie hers into a knot around her waist and then went to work on her own. Just as their ropes were secure, the monster leaped into the air and came down violently on the car's front end. The impact was so great, the car's back end lifted a full 6 feet off the ground, then came down violently. The monster leaned forward to get a better look through the windshield and then licked her wide lips.
Going somewhere? She laughed.
Elvis whined and crawled under his blanket as Granny floored the accelerator and the car lunged forward. The monster tumbled over the hood, up the windshield, over the roof, onto the trunk, and fell off the back end of the car.
She's gone, Sabrina cried,
just before the freak hopped back onto the trunk. It laughed at them through the rear window.
She's back,
Daphne cried, diving under the blanket with Elvis. Granny made a sharp left onto an old dirt road and pressed hard on the gas pedal. The ancient car screamed in protest, but held up its end with a burst of speed so powerful, Sabrina felt the G-force pushing her body into the seat springs. Despite the incredible speed, the frog girl held on with little effort and pounded angrily on the rear window. The massive blows caused a thick crack in the glass.
Turning right!
Granny shouted from the driver's seat just before she made the turn. Elvis tumbled over the girls as the car banked to the right, but the maneuver didn't seem to shake the monster.
Turning left!
Granny shouted, and Elvis tumbled to the other side of the car, landing heavily on Sabrina's belly and knocking the wind out of her. The frog girl smacked the window again, and this time it exploded, sending chunks of glass into the back seat. Several large portions of the window stayed attached, but the monster pulled them off effortlessly and tossed them into the road. Sabrina pushed Elvis off of her and fought to fill her empty, burning lungs. As she struggled, the frog girl reached into the back seat with her big, sticky hands, unfastened Daphne's rope belt, and snatched the little girl right out of her seat. Still choking and gasping for air, Sabrina grabbed desperately at Daphne's ankle and tried to pull her back inside the car, but the frog girl's grip was too strong.
"She's got Daphne!"
she gasped. But Mr. Canis had already sprung into action. He rolled down his window and pulled his upper body out of the car.
"There's no need to hurry, old man!"
the frog girl screamed over the wind.
"You'll die soon enough!"
A ferocious roar echoed back at the monster, and Sabrina could see her eyes grow wide with surprise.
"You're one of us?" the frog girl cried. "And you fight for the life of a filthy Grim? You're the traitor! I should have known you by your stink!"
"Put the child back into the car,"
Sabrina heard Mr. Canis demand, even over the roaring engine.
"The traitor gets no favors!"
The frog girl laughed. She reached into the back seat with her free arm and grasped for Sabrina. Sabrina squirmed and slapped at the disgusting hand, but it still managed to snatch her sweater and drag her out the window as well.
"I'm not going to tell you again, beast,"
Mr. Canis threatened.
"I've heard stories about you, traitor," the monster croaked. "The big bad wolf, trying to make amends for all the bad things he has done. You'll fail, old-timer. Your heart isn't in it. But no matter, I'll give you the dignity of knowing you died trying."
Mr. Canis was too far away to do anything. Sabrina knew if she and her sister were going to survive, they were going to have to save themselves.
"Daphne, do you remember Mr. Oberlin?"
Sabrina shouted, hoping her sister had not forgotten this particular foster father.
"From the Bronx?"
the little girl asked. Sabrina nodded. The disgusted look flashing across her sister's face told Sabrina that her plan wasn't the little girl's favorite. Regardless, Daphne nodded, and together the sisters leaned down and bit the frog girl hard. The monster shrieked in agony and let go of Daphne. Sabrina grabbed her sister, and together they scrambled back into the car. The frog girl huddled on the trunk, clutching her wounds.
"What happened?" Granny Relda said, still pushing hard on the gas.
"It appears I am not the only one in our home with fangs," Mr. Canis said, climbing back into the car.
"You've got to get rid of this thing," Sabrina shouted, as she wiped the horrible taste out of her mouth with her shirt sleeve.
A bit of the goo was on her chin, and her shirt stuck to it like it was a powerful glue. Daphne was also busy rubbing the monster's taste off her tongue onto her sleeve. Again, the frog girl reached in through the window, but Elvis snapped at her hand, and the monster pulled it back.
"Don't worry, Lieblings," Granny said, as she made a rough turn onto a gravel road. "I have a plan."
Sabrina looked through the windshield and saw a sign blocking the road ahead. It read, "Danger! Bridge unsafe! Go no farther!" Worse was what was beyond it. In the distance was an old, run-down country bridge covering a rocky stream. One look at it told Sabrina that a mouse wouldn't be able to cross the bridge safely, let alone Granny Relda's ancient 2-ton monstrosity on wheels.
"What's Granny's plan?"
Daphne said, smacking at the frog monster's hand as it snatched at her through the window.
"You don't want to know," Sabrina replied.
The car crashed through the old wooden sign, and it exploded around them. A giant chunk slid over the roof and, by the sound of the pained groan, smacked the monster in her head. The collision was enough to knock the frog girl off the car, and she tumbled painfully to the ground. Unfortunately, Granny didn't stop driving, and when the jalopy raced onto the beginning of the rickety bridge, Sabrina knew they were in trouble. Creaking beams and snapping wood drowned out the car's backfires and grinding gears. The old bridge tilted to the left just as the car reached the halfway point, and she saw a sight that nearly gave her a heart attack. The middle of the bridge had collapsed, leaving a giant hole no car could ever get across, and Granny wasn't slowing down.
"Granny, we're not going to make it!" Sabrina shouted, battling the roaring engine to be heard. "I love pancakes, too," the old woman shouted back.
"I hate this car," Sabrina thought to herself. Granny Relda floored the accelerator. The engine screamed. A flame shot out of the car's muffler, and suddenly they were soaring over the gaping hole. They landed hard on the other side and raced onto the road, just as the bridge buckled and collapsed into the rocky stream below. After several yards, Granny brought the car to a stop. She shut off the engine.
"That took care of the ugly little beast," Granny laughed as she turned around to face the girls. "How exciting was that? Were you excited? I'm having the time of my life."
Everyone remained speechless, except for Elvis, who whined softly. Granny Relda didn't notice. She continued to jabber on like a little kid who had had too much sugar before bedtime.
"Oh, boy, did Froggy get the surprise of her life," she continued, smacking the steering wheel proudly. "You put Relda Grimm behind the wheel, and things get done."
The old woman turned back around and prepared to start the car again, but everyone shouted, "No!" in unison. Mr. Canis snatched the keys out of the ignition. Sabrina saw the disappointment in her grandmother's face. The old woman slowly got out of the car, and Mr. Canis slid over into the driver's seat. As she got in on the passenger's side, Granny Relda crossed her arms and pouted. It reminded Sabrina of something Daphne would do.
"My driving isn't that bad, is it?" the old woman asked.
"Yes,"
everyone shouted. Once the house was unlocked, the family staggered inside, with Sabrina quietly cursing one of the worst days of her life. Puck was sprawled across the couch. He had moved the books away from the television and was watching it with the sound all the way up. The boy was surrounded by 3 delivery pizza boxes, empty bags of chips, a leaky carton of ice cream, and a 2-liter bottle of soda, from which he was currently drinking. On his belly was a can of spray cheese, and when he saw the family limp into the house, he put down the soda and lifted the cheese can, spraying an enormous portion into his mouth. Then he gargled with it. Once he had swallowed the greasy orange junk food, he let out an enormous belch that actually rattled the windows.
"Old lady," he crowed, "you've been hiding this magic box from me. You can see other worlds on it. I just watched a man in his talking sports car jump across a river."
Sabrina felt her exhaustion turn instantly to anger. From their expressions, she could see the rest of the family felt the same way. While they had been hunted by a frog monster, Puck had had the best day of his life. Fate was cruel.
"What?"
he said defensively, noticing their glares. Granny started dinner and patiently explained to Puck what had happened to them. The boy seemed to think Mr. Grumpner's murder was fascinating and was terribly depressed that he hadn't seen the frog girl.
"Was she ugly?" he asked. "Why is it that I miss all the fun?"
"I guess you just don't have our luck," Sabrina grumbled.
"I hope the two of you washed," he said to the girls. "Frogs give you warts, and it sounds like the one you fought off was mighty big. I wouldn't be surprised if you wake up in the morning and find you are one giant brown wart."
Daphne's eyes grew as big as saucers.
"Nuh-uh," she said. "Sorry, kiddo, but if you hurry and take a bath, it might not be too late," Puck advised.
The little girl rushed out of the kitchen and could be heard running through the house and up to the bathroom.
"You shouldn't tease her like that," Sabrina said, vigorously washing her hands at the kitchen sink.
"Puck, do you know the widow?"
Granny Relda asked as she got up to stir a pot of soup on the stove.
"Of course," Puck replied. "Queen of the Crows."
"Go get her,"
Granny Relda said.
"Why?"
he asked.
"Are we going to cook her?"
"Of course not," Granny said, horrified. "I have some questions for her. Since when does the Trickster King act as your messenger, old lady?"
the boy asked.
"Since he started living under her roof," Mr. Canis growled.
He slammed his fist down hard on the kitchen counter, causing the sugar bowl to lose its lid.
"This is serious business, boy. Now go."
Puck eyed Canis stubbornly.
"Villains do not run errands."
The old man's eyes turned ice blue, and a bit of his wolf voice came out.
"I'll show you a villain, trickster."
Glistening wings sprang from Puck's back and flapped loudly. He flew quickly through the house and slammed the front door as he left. Mr. Canis leaned against the kitchen doorway and tried to catch his breath. This was the first day he had been out of his room in 3 weeks, and it hadn't been an easy one. If the old man was struggling with keeping his emotions in check, the last 4 hours had been an incredible test.
"Mr. Canis," Granny said, rubbing the old man's back with her palm, "go and rest."
"There may be more danger," Canis insisted.
"Old friend, I already have 3 children arguing all the time," Granny Relda scolded. "I do not need another."
The old man nodded and shuffled out of the kitchen.
"Who's the widow?"
Sabrina asked.
"Hans Christian Andersen wrote about her in The Nightingale. She's an old friend," Granny said. "She might be able to shed some light on the crow feathers we found. She's sort of an expert on birds."
"So you don't think the frog girl killed Mr. Grumpner?" Sabrina said.
"No, Liebling. Frogs don't make webs,"
the old woman said.
"Neither do birds." "True, but the birds may have seen something."
When dinner was ready, Granny and the girls met in the dining room. Daphne's skin was red from scrubbing, and her hair was wrapped up in a big white towel. The family took their seats, and Granny served herself and the girls some hot soup and buttered rolls. The soup tasted like warm butterscotch pudding, but Sabrina was so hungry she didn't have the strength to make her usual complaint about her grandmother's weird food. Between slurps of soup, the old woman jotted some notes in her notebook.
"Well, then, it looks like we've got 2 monsters on our hands now,"
Granny Relda said.
"One frog girl, And a Iron Ida, Daphne mumbled between bites of bread. What?
Daphne swallowed.
And a giant spider, she repeated,
and then immediately stuffed another oversized bite into her mouth.
I agree, Granny Relda said. Charming was way off on his army of spiders theory. I think it was one big one.
Don't forget the broken window, Sabrina said. That's how it got inside.
Maybe, Granny replied.
You don't think so?
The girl asked.
The glass was all over the floor, so something came through that window. And by how spread out the shards of glass were, I'd say it came in fast.
Birds,
Daphne mumbled, with a mouthful of soup.
Right, the birds, Sabrina said. The black feathers were underneath the window, but that's where I get confused. Why would birds have come into the room?
Birds eat spiders, Granny Relda explained, as she stood up and crossed the room to a pile of books stacked next to the radiator. She tugged at a couple in the middle of the stack and sent the rest tumbling to the ground. She left the fallen pile where it was and returned to the table. Granny wasn't much of a housekeeper.
This book is just about everything ever written on giant monster spiders, Granny Relda said, setting it in front of the girls. It's a bit dry, and also has an unhealthy fear of certain animals, but it might be helpful.
Sabrina eyed the book, entitled Magical Mutations of Insects, Reptiles, and Kitties. She opened the cover and saw a crude drawing of a giant kitten chewing on several screaming farmers. She flipped to another page, and a thin pamphlet fell out. She picked it up and examined it. The cover read, Rumpelstiltskin's Secret Nature. What's this? She said, leafing through it. The pages were filled with tiny, neat writing.
I've been looking for that for ages, Granny said. That's a book your great-aunt Matilda Grimm wrote.
Daphne took the pamphlet.
What's this say? It's called Rumpelstiltskin's Secret Nature, her grandmother said, taking the booklet from the little girl. Matilda wrote a lot about Rumpelstiltskin. You could say she was one of the few fairy tale specialists in this family. She had dozens of theories on why Rumpelstiltskin kept trying to trick people out of their firstborn children. You should read it when you get a chance.
I'll check this out later, Sabrina said, setting the mutations book aside.
Anyone for more camel hump soup?
Granny Relda asked as she got up from the table.
This is made from a camel's hump, Sabrina cried, dropping her spoon as images of a sweaty, flea-covered camel danced around in her mind.
She'd seen one at the Bronx Zoo with her father and could still smell its rank breath years later. She felt sick.
Actually, it's two-hump camel soup, but I only use the second hump, Granny Relda explained. The first hump is a little tough, and besides, it's the second hump that has all the flavor.
The girls stared at the old woman as if she were playing an elaborate joke on them, but Sabrina could see from her expression that she was serious. Of course, Daphne clapped her hands happily and cried,
I'll have more, and this time make sure there's some extra hump in there.
Sabrina slowly pushed her nearly empty bowl away, just as there was a knock on the front door. Granny, who was on her way to the kitchen, stopped and rushed to answer it, with the girls following right on her heels. There on the porch stood a humongous black crow. Its eyes and beak bobbed nervously, and its squawk was ear-shattering. On one of its legs was a black ribbon. And when it saw the family, it dipped its head in what Sabrina guessed was a bow of respect.
Good afternoon, widow, Granny Relda said to the bird. Good afternoon to you, Relda Grimm,
the crow croaked in a scratchy yet feminine voice. Daphne squealed in glee, but Sabrina's stomach did a flip-flop.
More talking animals. Ugh.
Do you know that little brat you sent plucked a feather out of my behind and laughed?
The crow continued.
I am very sorry, Granny Relda apologized. I haven't seen you as a crow in some time. Well, the boy said it was important, so I did the bird thing.
Normally, I'd take the 7 down to the 40 and get off at Miller Road, but you know that disaster with all the orange cones. And right now, the 18 is backed up for miles. At this time of night, flying is really the quickest way. The bird croaked.
Your English is coming along very well, Granny Relda commented.
Thank you, the crow cawed. Some of the others refused to speak anything but crowish, but I say you have to adapt. It's good to learn new things. I've even been surfing the web.
What fun, Granny said with a smile.
I was wondering if you had heard about the human that was killed today at the elementary school.
Yes, I have, the widow replied. Want to know how I know? Granny nodded.
A little bird told me,
the crow said. For a moment, there was silence.
Get it? A little bird told me.
That's very funny, the old woman said, as a pained smile crossed her face.
Sabrina rolled her eyes, but Daphne laughed so hard she snorted.
Oh, I like the little one, the crow chuckled. You gotta have a good sense of humor to live in this town.
The death was very suspicious, Granny Relda said, trying to steer the conversation back to the murder.
She took one of the black feathers they had found in the classroom out of her handbag and held it out to the bird.
This was at the crime scene.
I've heard rumblings in the flock, the widow said, eyeing the feather.
Rumblings?
Granny Relda asked. The bird hesitated and looked around as if someone might be listening.
Some of the crows claim they blacked out. They say they can't account for about 15 minutes of the day,
the crow whispered.
The ones I talked to said they heard music, and suddenly they were all standing around the schoolyard, unsure of how they got there. Sounds like the piper is back to his old games.
That would be unfortunate, Granny said.
But I don't think it's your biggest problem, the crow continued. Someone's sent you a message, and I'm warning you, Relda, you don't want to mess with the Scarlet Hand.
I don't know what you're talking about, said the old woman.
What message?
It's all over your house, Relda. Whatever you've gotten involved in this time has attracted the attention of some very bad people.
Sabrina and Daphne ran down the porch steps and looked up at the house. On the windows, roof, and even on the chimney were red paint hands, just like the one they had found on the chalkboard in Mr. Grumpner's room.
Who did this? Sabrina asked.
We've only been home for an hour, Daphne added.
The widow hopped down the steps and flew up into the air.
Keep your nestlings close,
the crow squawked as it disappeared over the tree line.
Girls, get back into the house. Granny Relda said sternly.